First Peter chapter 2, resuming our study at verse 7. First Peter chapter 2, verse 7. You might want to pause the lecture and open your Bible doctrine books to the Doctrine of Marriage, because we're going to hit the Doctrine of Marriage today, and that's on page 441 of the first edition of Categorical Bible Doctrines. Okay, before we begin our Bible study, of course, it's imperative that we spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving each of us the opportunity to use the rebound technique if necessary in order to have the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, for the perception of Bible doctrine. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things. In Christ's name, amen. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. As you recall, we were talking about the doctrine of marriage last time, but we didn't go into the doctrine. We looked at it from the woman's perspective, and we noted that a mature woman, of course, if she's stuck with a loser husband, then she should do her duty as unto the Lord, apply Bible doctrine. Obviously, she's got a problem, which is the husband, either an unbeliever, which you shouldn't have married him in the first place. But once you marry an unbeliever, of course, you should stay as you are. And who knows, he might be positive towards the gospel. And through your duty that you do as a spouse, he will observe that, and something will click about grace, and it'll activate his positive volition, and he will become a believer. Or if he's a believer that's negative to Bible doctrine, then this might get him to be curious about these problem-solving devices, and he might turn positive to Bible doctrine. So marriage, of course, is one of the most important decisions you can make, and outside of salvation, of course, there's no one more important decision than that, but in this body and time here on this planet, that's a critical decision. So we'll spend a little bit of time today going through that doctrine. But let's wade through 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, look at some of the words, and then we'll stop for a bit. So it starts out, and I've got my strong dictionary, and we have the word you husbands. This is in the plural because Peter's talking to a variety, all husbands that are believers. And that's our word aner, A-N-E-R, which means a nobleman. So this is the implication here, is you've got a husband, a believer that's mature, and is on his way to reaching the high ground of spiritual maturity, or he's on that ground and he's holding his ground. So you husbands in the same way. In other words, the wife is supposed to do her duty, the husband's supposed to do his duty in the same way. Marriage is a partnership. The husband is a senior partner, but both of them are doing their duty. It says, live with your wives. Your wives, of course, is not in the original. We add that there to make the sentence clear, and it's a correct addition to the sentence. In an understanding way. And of course, the word for understanding is our friend gnosis. It's the root word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, which means knowledge. And here it means understanding way is a good translation. As with someone weaker. Now we have to look at this word weaker, and that is asthenesis. A-S-T-H-E-N-E-S. And if you look up Strong's, you'll see Orin Thayer's, which is another Greek dictionary. It means to be weak, to be the lesser partner. And that's what we're looking at here, someone that is the lesser partner in the marriage relationship. And it also can be translated incompleteness, because obviously the man is incomplete without the woman, and the woman is incomplete without the man. Marriage, of course, is the corporate unit that's established by God. It's a divine institution for all humans. It maintains stability in the human race. But of course, Christian marriage is above and beyond. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I think a better translation here would be incompleteness instead of the word weaker. Because we know there's nothing weak about a female. Now, obviously, women are different than men. And of course, with our degenerate society today, they deny this fact. And they've got all sorts of weird ideas. Nothing new. It's just the same old sixes and sevens. Unfortunately, the number of these people in the past were in the minority, and they're still in the minority, but they are a vocal minority. And of course, the news media plays him up and it gives homage to every type of strange idea that comes down the pike, from the abolition of capitalism to the abolition of marriage to the abolition of the police department to the abolition of the military to all sorts of communistic, socialistic ideas that are straight from, of course, the playbook of Satan himself. So we have you husbands in the same way. Live with your wives in an understanding, knowledgeable way. Understanding means you've got to know Bible doctrine. Marriage, of course, is a wonderful relationship, but if you don't have the tools, if you're not equipped to deal with the ins and outs and the ups and downs, then it can be a very miserable experience for you, and it lasts a very long time. As with someone incomplete, since she is a woman, the word woman here is, again, the same word you usually see when you see the word woman, gune, but here is gunakitos, and that means belonging to a woman. Belonging to a woman. Since she is belonging to a woman, she is a woman. Your wife is a woman. Your wife is not a man if you're a man. That's degeneracy. Your wife is a woman. And show her honor. The word honor is time, our old friend, T-I-M-E, which means respect, honor. You honor your wife. Now, when you honor someone, you respect someone, you don't try to change their personality. You don't try to squash them. You allow them the freedom to choose for you. And that means as a leader. The man, of course, is a leader in marriage. We're going to get some more information on that. But he's commanded to show her honor, to, again, live in a way that's understanding, and to show her complete honor as a fellow heir. So even if you have a wife that's a loser, remember before we saw a wife with a husband that was a loser, you have a wife that's a loser, you still treat her as a fellow heir of grace. This implies that she's a believer of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Why do we have this last thing added, so that your prayers will not be hindered? Well, Peter knows. Remember, Peter was married. Peter knows when you have a marriage that's on the rocks, then your prayer life is going to be hindered because you're constantly in a state of, how should I put this delicately? You're constantly in a state of warfare, let's just say that. And therefore, your prayer life is going to be hindered because you're out of fellowship and you're in fellowship and out of fellowship. You're like a bouncing ball. And it's constantly a game. It's a fight. It's a cat and dog type environment. Or you're sullen, or you're arrogant, or you're resentful because your wife's not treating you like you think that she should treat you and vice versa. And they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And therefore, your prayer life is going to be hindered. That's not a good thing. Prayer is a powerful tool. It's not one of the problem-solving devices, but it's a powerful tool. And we studied the doctrine of prayer before. You have your book. You can study it on your own anytime that you want to. And so let's stop there and get the doctrine of marriage. We've got one verse under our belt. And the word for hindered, of course, is egkapto. And that means domestic tranquility hurts the prayer life. Domestic tranquility, well, lack of domestic tranquility hurts your prayer life, obviously. So if you've got your book, turn to the doctrine of marriage. I have it here. I'm glancing off to my side here, and I'll pull this bad boy up a little bit so we can read it and go through it together. We've done this before, but again, remember, doctrine learning is repetition. And what you think you know and what you know sometimes is two different things. So I'm flipping back to the book. We're on page 437 of the first edition of Categorical Bible Doctrines. The year is 2020. I hope to have a second edition out, perhaps next year or the year after that. So point one on the doctrine of marriage. Marriage is designed for believers and unbelievers. It's a divine institution. A lot of people say, well, marriage is a Christian marriage. You got to get married to church. No, you don't. You get married to just the peace. You can go to Vegas. You can, however you want to tie the knot under the laws of the state in which you live. It's ordained by God to maintain stability in the human race. That's why God set up marriage. Imagine if we didn't have the institution of marriage. Let's just do a thought experiment. In the news today, people are wanting to abolish the police force. If you have half a brain, imagine what will happen to society if you don't have a police force. These people are totally disoriented to reality. Now, as we've said many times, we can cure ignorance, but we can't cure stupid. And they are absolutely stupid. They're a dead weight. in this country. They hate this country. They hate everything that the country stands for. They hate the history of the country. They're taught to hate the country from elementary school right up through the school system, that this country is a horrible place, and therefore I guess it's a natural consequence when they come out the other end. Now, this is a failure of the family. The family has to teach their children, because if you're thinking that the school is going to teach you about patriotism and about love of country and God and country and capitalism and all the virtues that are abundant in this country, they don't teach that stuff. It's the antithesis of it. So, point two, marriage is a satisfaction, or sanctification rather, means setting apart of male-female love, and we've got many verses there that you can look up. And it relates to category two, love. Now, you'll know if you're just a novice to this ministry, you'll see if you have the Bible Doctrine book, and if you don't, send me an email. I'll send you an electronic copy. You can get a hard copy. They're all free. There's no charge in this ministry for anything. We don't hand our, we don't put our hands out for money. Don't need your money. The grace of God, of course, will provide, and therefore we don't put an emphasis on that at all. Bible Doctrine is not for sale. So that's one way you could discern a correct church that's teaching Bible doctrine and one that's not correct. One that always wants to sell you a prayer rag or a brother this or a book or whatever, they're violating the Word of God. And you might say, well, how can they keep the doors open? Well, grace giving. Look up the doctrine of giving. God will motivate believers to give to a particular ministry. You don't need to panhandle people. So the couple, of course, is to subordinate all other relationships in this world as their commitment to the marriage relationship is now supreme. And of course, we see this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 to 25, where it says that for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, of course, the strongest relationship before you're married is your parents. Now, we're talking about the ideal situation. I know there are a lot of rotten parents, and we're talking about the ideal. The fact that humans don't live up to the ideal all the time doesn't mean the ideal is wrong. It simply means that the old sin nature is at work. But we strive to hold ourselves in accordance with these divine institutions. And so the strongest premarital relationship is going to be your parents in most cases. So therefore, you leave that relationship and you form a new relationship. You form this relationship called marriage, and it's between one man and one woman. The Word of God teaches that it's one man, one woman. Now, society teaches today that it doesn't have to be one man, one woman. I would submit to you that someone is wrong. Either the Bible's wrong or society's wrong. Now, you know this ministry, when there's a conflict between society and the Bible, we choose the Bible. When there's a conflict between man-made tradition and the Bible, we choose the Bible. The Bible is our guide. It teaches us how to walk, peripateo. That's a doctrine also, how to conduct yourself in life. And so that relationship is now supreme. Point three, again, this is one man and one woman. Now, in the Old Testament, we had polygamy. You had some of these individuals would disregard the Word of God. And this is the way it was from the very beginning, Adam and Eve. So we had people that, excuse me, we have something going on here. I don't know what that was. I think it's a phone. Let me pause for a second, see if I can correct that here.